the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
They're called The Doors, and they've got the number one single in the country right now, Light Your Fire.
Light Your Fire, is that Chez?
Yes.
Fellas, just wait. I heard your record. Light That Fire.
Light Your Fire.
Light That, just
light good. My fire.
Great.
Well, I have one little thing to bring up. It's a small thing, but it's important. The guys at Network have told us that they have a little problem with one of your lyrics, the lyric, Girl, We Couldn't Get Much Higher. See, because you can't say higher on Network, so they asked if you could say instead, Girl, We Can't Get Much Better. Can you dig that?
How about, Girl, You Couldn't Bite My Wire?
I don't think standards and practices would.
And you know, fellas, why don't you have a nice big smile on your face when you get out there? There's no point being sullen.
Educate, syncopate, radio communicate, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It's Wednesday, May 22nd, 2013, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez, brought to you every week by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap and bath and body products in the entire universe.
It's really too bad about Men's Eric.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he always seemed...
Big Doors fan. Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, there never would have been The Doors if it wasn't for Ray Manzarek. I mean... Jim Morrison gets a lot of the credit, but Ray Manzarek basically held that whole thing together.
Well, he was the genius of the band. The Doors were, you know, the shows that I'm really sorry I never got to see. I used to have, like, you know, when you're a teenager, you come up with, like, the list of, you know, what rock and roll shows am I sorry that I never got to see? And, you know, among them was being able, you know, or shows, you know, among them was like being able to see Sinatra live. I never got to see Queen live.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the Pistols in 96, but that really doesn't count. But yeah, seeing the Doors, I grew up worshiping the Doors.
Yeah. The Doors on Sullivan is what you're talking about. Yeah.
I mean, any time, just the opportunity to see them live.
To see them live. Okay, I thought you were talking about
that. Yeah, I mean, that was it. I mean, the opportunity, yeah, just the chance of being able to, like, the show I'd love to have been able to go to.
You know, I think about that era in rock music, and I don't know if I would have wanted to have seen them live. I just imagine the audio being horrible, just distorted and not loud enough. And
yeah, but still, it doesn't even give a crap. It's the Doors.
I mean, yeah, it's the Doors. And maybe
The Doors was like, if it weren't for the Doors, my acid experiences in like my late teens and early 20s would have been nowhere near what they were.
Yeah. Yeah, this provided Morrison would have made it through the show, because that rarely happens.
Right, exactly.
Right? You know, I tend to be ambivalent about Jim Morrison. I love the Doors, but Morrison himself, you know, I probably get hate mail over this, but I get the sense that a lot of Morrison's lyrics sound to me as if it's like a high school teenager writing poetry for English class.
Yeah, no, Morrison was a pompous ass. And yeah. I mean, yeah, his stuff was, you know, full of like florid nonsense. But yeah, you know, still, I mean, there was something, there was something wonderful about it at the same time.
Yeah.
Just the fact that it was, you know, that it was that. I mean, I always sort of appreciated, you know, living in L.A., I appreciated the Doors' appreciation for L.A. as sort of this dark and mystical place, the edge of Western civilization and so on. I got something out of that. I mean, that was the reason. Hearing that kind of thing about Southern California is what made me want to move here to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were so unique, and there was nothing else quite like the Doors at that time. I think they were way ahead of their time.
Yeah,
they seemed like the overall sound and the presentation of the band was nothing like anything else that was happening at that time. It really wasn't. Yeah.
And I mean, he was a front man. You know, say what you will about Morrison, that was the beauty of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was like really the first modern front man. I mean, he was the first guy to be out front and almost overshadowing the rest of the band in a way.
Right.
Because he was so dumb
or not, whether his stuff truly was genius or it was just, you know, a bunch of pompous nonsense. I mean, he was a front man. He was a badass front man. He was amazing.
And he really did say, "Girl, we couldn't get much higher" on the Ed Sullivan show. Instead of saying, "Girl, we couldn't get much better.
I always love that line. I love the God bless the guy who delivered that. Yeah. It's such a wonderful line.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Boy, it's so perfectly delivered. Boy, he really. I really enjoyed that period of time for Oliver Stone filmmaking too, because that was sort of right in the middle of all of that.
And oh, yeah.
Nothing Oliver Stone has done has been anywhere near his sort of coke-induced, you know, rapid-fire, black and white versus color versus Super 8.
Right. It was the Doors and the Natural Born Killers era, which was so good.
And JFK. And JFK,
right.
God, there was some great movies in there. Anyway, so on to serious things here. Right off the bat, I mean, the big breaking news of the day as we record this show is... what happened in London? My God.
Right off the bat, the big breaking news story is just how different England is from the United States. Because if that had happened in the United States, that guy who then proceeded to go over and talk to a camera would have been shot through the head about six times.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And you know, we were looking right before the show started. We were scrambling. Both of us were scrambling for the audio of this guy talking. I don't know what his name is or anything like that. But it's this guy who beheaded a soldier in the street in London. And then there were two other people were shot evidently around the same time. Or just
I don't know whether it was them or whether it was anybody else or whether it was the guys who actually did it. Yeah. I think that from what I read, and I could be wrong about this, and you know, by the time this show hits, you know, gets put out to the masses, we may know different stuff. But I think from what I read, the guy who once again cut this guy's head off and went over and gave a really nice little political speech to a camera while holding on to two knives and blood all over his hands.
Yeah.
I think that was the guy who, when cops showed up, obviously very wisely just shot him.
Yeah. And he says it in the audio. He says it with that British accent, which basically sells anything. Right. We swear by Almighty Allah that we will never stop fighting you. You know, it's just like, oh, God, really?
But I mean, and now for something completely different.
And now, the larch.
The larch. Exactly. The larch.
I mean, we're laughing, but boy, good Lord, this is awful. Here's the story out of the Independent. Terrorism returned to the streets of Britain today as a soldier was murdered by two suspected Islamists who attempted to behead and disembowel him as he left his barracks.
Yeah.
In the first deadly attack since 2005 London bombings.
Right.
So it's basically they are calling it a terrorist attack. What is
it? It is a terrorist attack. The guy comes over and he gives a political speech about, you know, Allahu Akbar, and we're not going to stop fighting and stand up against your government. And he says, you know, he makes that argument that, you know, I think he says, we're sorry that women had to witness this, but this happens every day on the streets of our country. And I don't particularly know where exactly this guy's country is, but what this is going to bring up is that debate that they have. Certainly we have shades of it here, you know, the immigration battle, but trust me, it's actually much worse in Europe, where there are a lot of people are called sort of ultra-nationalist fascist dickheads for talking about the problems with this allowance for immigration, for allowing all different types of people to come in into the country in like places like England and France. But really, there, you know, when something like this happens, it's going to bring up that it's you're going to really see that debate again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're going to see, like, see, look, we allow people to come into our country from every place, and we're very welcoming and inviting. Look at what we get.
Yeah, even though it's one guy,
right?
Or in this case, two guys.
Right.
Says here, the man who spoke English without a foreign accent then saunters back across the road towards his victim, lying in the street to join his apparent accomplice. He said into the camera, "I apologize. The women had to witness this today." See, even after committing a terrorist attack,
right?
This guy's like apologizing. The deferential British people are remarkable. "I apologize that women had to witness this today, but in our lands, our women have to see the same. You people will never be safe."
That's actually not true. I mean, look, you know what? Maybe you can say that drone attacks are terrible, really. And certainly war is horrible, and acts have been perpetrated on people around the world by Americans, by Western forces, whoever they might happen to be, in many different ways. But, you know, when I worked at CNN, I remember seeing it wasn't Daniel Pearl. It was the guy who was killed afterwards. Berg, I think his name was. The guy who was beheaded.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I remember seeing that. A guy behind me started watching it. And I just heard the screaming, and I turned around. I'm like, what the hell is that? And I caught a glimpse of it, and I'm just like, I mean, I yelled at him. I'm like, would you please not watch that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like right here in front of everybody. I'm like, just don't, please.
I think we talked about this before. Yeah, I have never seen that video. And
right, but what I'm talking about, though, is I remember the first thing I thought, and I'm sorry, you know what, I'll get called names for this, but the freaking savagery of that, you know, I can't, maybe there is no difference. Maybe in the end, somebody's dead, you know, regardless, you know, maybe we're worse because, as they've called us, cowards, because we push a button and kill people miles and miles and miles away, but there is something to me about the sort of ability to take a knife to somebody and cut their head off and have the stomach to do that I don't see from most people. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not even blaming one particular nationality or religion or anything. I'm just saying I don't know how someone can do that. I don't know what possesses, what's inside of someone that they don't have an issue with that. I mean, even guns, you know, even you fire a gun and it's at a distance.
Yeah,
you know, but the ability for this guy, the sort of the savage barbarian mentality it must take to walk up to a guy on the street with your fucking machete and saw his head off. That person, to me, I mean, you know, again, I'm taking nationality and I'm taking religion and all that out of, but that person is a threat to everything. That person is a threat to civilization and should not be walking around. If you have the ability to do that, if you're that sociopathic that you can take a knife to somebody's head and you don't have an issue with, you're so angry or whatever the hell you are that you can cut somebody's head off in public, that's someone who does not deserve to live in civilized society.
This is a visceral, up-close thing. You don't see that a lot. You know, hardly at all. I mean, how many times have we...
Yeah. That, I mean, maybe that, you know what, I'm sorry, maybe that is an argument. Maybe I'm just trying to hedge here. You know, maybe there is an argument to be made that, like, you know, Bill Maher used to talk about this, and I know he caught a lot of crap for it, but the idea that he did this really pretty good rant. I can't remember when he said it, when he talked about it is a war of cultures. Mm-hmm. It is. It is a our culture is better. It's just as simple as that. That a culture that doesn't keep people, women, head to toe in beekeeper suits is better. A culture where it's not okay to just behead somebody or to cut their hands off or to engage in the kind of primitive barbaric savagery there. I'm running out of thesaurus synonyms for it, you know, to engage in that kind of thing. The culture where that's unacceptable is better. It's just that simple. Yeah. It really is.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. I mean, you can't make there's no cultural excuse. There's no sort of sensitivity or tolerance argument to say that, you know what, this is fine. This is general mutilation of girls, and and forced rape and
exactly.
all sorts
and,
of subjugation.
Killing.
Yeah, and yeah. public beheadings and all that.
Screw you. That is yeah. not better. Screw your cultural and moral relativism. That is not better. Screw that overlooking it and just saying, oh, well, you know, it's their culture, so we therefore have to accept it. No, it's wrong, and it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to
now,
say
is
that...
Now, is it our job to clean it up? No, I'm not saying that. But it absolutely is not my job to pretend like that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, you just can't. You can't. I mean, likewise, you know, I run into here, and this is, I'll spend a second on this, but where I live in Hawaii here... There is, it's really a cultural melting pot. I mean, you talk about that sure. with regards to all of America. Hawaii is like that times a thousand. I mean, there are people mm-hmm. from all over the place here. And, you know, obviously lots of Asian people, lots of different cultures from East Asia and so forth. And you see the way a lot of these cultures treat dogs and pets, for example. It's repulsive to me. It's
oh, no, it would be repulsive to anybody. I get exactly what you're saying.
Right. And so, you know, the struggle for me has been to separate out, you know, the respect for another culture versus my disdain for some of the things they do. And I think yeah. I think that's kind of how we can look upon Muslim culture and try to separate what's awful versus what's okay and acceptable about it. And yeah, certainly in the name and good Lord, I think it was, who was it? Glenn Greenwald. I got to say hats off to Glenn Greenwald because he laid into Marr the other night on Real Time and actually had Marr on the ropes about this, which is, well, yeah, you know what? Christians, Jews also commit heinous acts of murder and annihilation in the name of their religion, too. But we're not engaged in, well, who knows? I mean, it's hard to say because it's so obvious with the Islamic culture.
That's
when you
the
see
thing.
Burqas,
it's very obvious. You know, here's the thing. It's been allowed. There is an argument to be made, and I'm screw it if I get yelled at for this. That and maybe it has to do with oil. Maybe it has to do with the fact that the West. You know, our addiction to oil means that the West tolerates some of the cultural things about the Middle East, the Islamic world, that have not moved forward. But the thing is, Christianity, Judaism, and by the way, I'm atheist, so I don't like any of them. You know, don't think that I'm picking one religion over another. I think they all suck.
Yeah.
But they have been forced, for the most part, not always and not all the way around the world, but in a lot of places, they've been forced to conform to modernism. They've been hammered away at by modernism for so long that they've had to give in a little bit. There are areas of the world, though, where Islam has not been forced to do that, where it's still okay to be to basically live in, you know, in the third century.
Yeah, that's precisely what it is.
Where they've not been forced to move forward. And one of the reasons why, you know, for all of our bitching and moaning politically and morally and culturally about how, well, you know, we're better than them, it's like we kind of let it happen because we have to negotiate with them over their oil.
Yeah.
And if they didn't have that card to be played, dear God.
Well,
but I mean, either way, looking at it, yeah, you know what? Sure, Christians, and over the years, absolutely, over the centuries, Christians and Jews and every just about every other faith-based religion has engaged in some sort of, you know, heinous acts. My God, the Crusades. But now, right now, at this point in our culture, Islam is the one that would be the most physically dangerous, and not across the board. You know, don't even start with that. Nobody's saying that every single person who subscribes to Islam is a terrorist or a killer or a threat. That is absolute crap. But as a whole, it would appear to be, at least from everything I've seen and read and, you know, all the reports, that it is slightly more dangerous than most of the other religions that have been forced to give in to modernity over the years.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to come back and talk more about this. And, God, Oklahoma and
oh God, yeah.
back after this.
What do you got?
What's that?
Yeah, so what do you got?
Well, let's see. Yeah, I mean, none of this is to say that we need to go in and and do what Ann Coulter said after 9/11,
no,
which is...
But she's all about converting them, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I find ridiculous, because I think that what you know, what Americans do, our American Taliban theocracy over here is just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
They want things, yeah, you know what, in kind of a nice little sort of parallel to violence with technologically advanced violence versus cutting somebody's head off. They want to do just as many horrible things to women. They just want to do it so that it's slightly cleaner.
Yeah. And who's to say that there can't be some sort of eventual nonviolent change in that culture?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, certainly we've witnessed stranger things. I mean, who would have guessed that Vietnam would be a trading partner?
Right.
After so many years of death and destruction and war and communism. But, so it is possible. It's just, I think there's just a cultural hang-up. I think this was the huge mistake of the Bush years, just to think that all we have to do is go over there and install a democratic government in some sort of Ayn Rand utopia, some sort of, right. And then everyone there will be suddenly sympathetic to the West, and democracy will flourish, and it'll be peaceful, and there'll be McDonald's and Starbucks on every corner. It just doesn't.
That's what they need.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It doesn't work that way. It's unlikely to function that way. I mean, throughout all of the death and destruction the last few weeks we've been talking about. I mean, the death and destruction in Iraq has been terrible. It's been terrible. So who knows? Who knows where it's eventually going to lead? It's difficult to tell with such close proximity to all of those events that we engaged in throughout the previous decade. Still too early to know where it's all going to lead. And I'm not very hopeful. I'm not very hopeful. And I do, you know what, I honestly do try to be tolerant of religion and culture and all those things. But sometimes, you just can't help but to shake your head and go, what the F is going on? Who are these people? And I'm not just talking about Muslims. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about Jews. I'm talking about, right wingers. You know, there's just the whole variety of weirdness out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. And again, I'm going to criticize. This is kind of the official statement of an asshole. But you call it like you see it. And yeah, you know what I mean. There's something wrong with not speaking out against people who you see doing really terrible things just because you're a little bit too concerned about offending or violating the rules of political correctness or whatever. You know, no one is ever saying that all of any one group are awful ever.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with pointing it out when the individuals when you see it.
Yeah. Hey, look, I mean, I'm critical of Republicans and Christians and whoever's suppressive of and oppressive of women here or anywhere. And so damn right, I'm going to say, this culture in Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia with burqas and genital mutilation and all of those things, these ridiculous adultery laws.
Exactly.
It's just like, wake up, people. I mean, this is absolutely absurd. I refuse to hold my fire because this group of people is from another religion and because they control the world's oil supply.
Right. Your religion is wrong.
Yeah.
Your religion is messed up. Your religion is stupid.
That's right. That's right.
Your religion hurts people.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to say, again, categorically, all Muslims are like that or believe in that, but certainly that's...
Not.
There are Muslim nations with Sharia law and the variety of Islamic theocracy that does terrible things to people, to its own people. And and we don't have to like it.
And by the way, by pointing that out, you're not engaged. Again, you're not engaged in a game of relativism here, because the one thing about, again, you said it, Greenwald. One of the things that Greenwald loves to do is, when you say something like that, when you say, well, look, there's a real problem with Islam and here's what it is, he immediately comes back with, well, Christians and Jews and so on. And two wrongs make a right?
Yeah.
You know, well, you can easily say that, like, look, this is a problem, and also acknowledge that, oh, yeah, by the way, all those other religions, they've done awful crap, too.
Yeah, well, far be it for me to defend Greenwald, but, I mean, in the case of the discussion on Real Time with Bill Maher on Friday, Maher was actually singling out Muslims as being terrible and oppressive. But, you know, and I think Greenwald was right to say, well, let's face facts here. I mean, what's happening on the West Bank? What's been happening with Christianity for 2,000 years? You know, so I mean, I think there's guilt. There's plenty of guilt to go around.
No, that's true.
But that's not to say that, you know, three wrongs make a right. It's certainly not the case. It's just, I think they're all equally wrong.
Exactly.
Equally wrong in one form or another. Because, I mean, you see, this is maybe this is a ham-fisted way to segue into it. But, you know, in Oklahoma, you know, we have a senator from the state of Oklahoma who refuses to acknowledge climate change, refuses to acknowledge the climate crisis, can't even talk about it. I'm talking about James Inhofe here, right. Won't even talk about the causes of a tornado, the basic science behind how a tornado is formed. And he represents this state and the people right there smack in the middle of Tornado Alley. And it's all centered around this Christian fundamentalism.
Yeah. Inhofe denying denying climate science, basically. Inhofe denying that it's laughable to me to hear someone who knows nothing at all about science, nothing at all, attempt to comment on it.
Yeah.
He knows nothing. He is a gigantic knower of not a damn thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go ask Chris Christie, for example, ask him something about the Jersey Turnpike, or ask him something about the Jersey Shore. He'll be able to rattle off, and I'm not going to get into some sort of BJ for Chris Christie here, but comparatively, Chris Christie can tell you anything you want to know about New Jersey. But you ask James Inhofe, who presides over Tornado Alley, who's a senator from Oklahoma, what caused this tornado?
Well, he said, the devil.
So, yeah, so many things happen that are hard to explain, he said. This thing was huge. This was one of the largest ones we've had. Duh, really? Really, Mr. Inhofe, can you tell me more about the big tornado?
Obviously the work of Satan.
Absolutely absurd. And by the way, I'm not letting Chris Christie off the hook because I have a few things to say about him, too.
No, but I get what you're saying. You would think that something that so drastically affected your area, you would have a working knowledge of it.
That's right.
But again, I think that's one of the things that makes me laugh so much whenever Inhofe opens his mouth and talks about anything at all involving science. You know, it's like asking a four-year-old to explain the Large Hadron Collider. You know, I mean, he knows nothing about it. He has zero, you know, he is wantonly, depressingly ignorant, willfully ignorant on the subject of science.
That's right. and they keep reelecting him.
Of course they do.
They do.
Because he loves Jesus.
And I'm sorry, poor Liz Winstead. I'm not going to go down that road.
Yeah.
But
you know
please.
What? By the way, before you even, I've come up with an answer here. Finally,
yeah.
I think that you know how like there's an app I think they make that will stop you from drunk dialing.
Yeah.
Like, when you know you're going to go out and drink, you program your phone so that you can't call certain numbers for like 12 hours. Yeah. I think they need to make like an app on Twitter that will stop any pundit or pundit/comedian from tweeting within 24 hours of any kind of disaster.
Right.
That way they can't make a joke, they can't make a really stupid comment that they're going to later regret, and I mean, at least to Liz Winstead's credit, she immediately apologized for it and took the hit, as opposed to like an idiot like Eric Erickson who just keeps on renting.
It just keeps on going. That's just, they're like the Energizer Bunny on the right. They screw up and they just keep on trucking. Still going. Hey, another break back after this. Yeah, and you know, when it comes to Liz Winstead, she said that basically, the tornado targeted Republicans or something like that. It was just a joke.
Right, and it was an attempt to sort of parody the Republican scandals.
But this is something that I think has been, this is a joke that's been used in stand-up comedy for a while now. I mean, it's not a new joke. It was bad timing. I really like Liz Winstead. It's really hard for me to chastise her over that.
Yeah, I don't. And again, she took her hit for it.
Yeah, she did. Okay, hey, we're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. You say, well, why does your show have Bubble Genius at the beginning of it? Well, that's the name of our sponsor. It's like old-timey television, like the Texaco Star Theater. Well, the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. And Bubble Genius has been supporting the show since the very beginning. And so if you like this show and you want to support the show, and if you like products that are made by liberals, if you like products that are made by women, products that are made by independent businesses, not the big box stores and all those department stores, you want to support BubbleGenius.com. Go and buy all your bath and body products there. It's not just because all of those things alone. It's also because the soap and the products they sell there are really damn great. And by the way, they're hilarious, too. Here's the latest word from BubbleGenius.com.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Yes, please do. Subscribe on iTunes if you wanna. It's free. Also, your promo code for 15% off your order from BubbleGenius.com for Father's Day and whatever else you want to buy your bath and body products for. Go to Bubble Genius, and when you buy and you check out, type in Bob and Chez, BobandChez, for 15% off. It's a bargain at twice the price. We pass the savings along to you. So there you go. Oklahoma. Let's talk about Oklahoma. We already started into a little bit. The fact of the matter is that the tornado in Oklahoma wasn't caused by the climate crisis. Likewise, Hurricane Sandy, Chris Christie, wasn't caused by the climate crisis. It just made it worse.
No, it was caused by HAARP or Alex Jones's government, U.S. government.
It was caused by weather weapons.
Weather weapons.
Because did you know that you can actually, the government can create tornadoes, many of them, and then actually move the tornadoes around? I mean, that's what Alex Jones said yesterday on his show, that they can steer tornadoes. How in God's name?
You know, my favorite thing about the conspiracy theories is that the people who believe them generally believe that the government is inept and stupid. And yet they're inept and stupid, but they can build weapons that move tornadoes around. They have all these secrets they're keeping from us.
You know, scientists have said that the power of that one tornado, it was an F5, was anywhere from 8 times to 600 times the power of the Hiroshima atomic bomb.
That was what's the line in Twister? The finger of God.
Yeah.
Finger of God, man.
And right. But it was actually the finger of Obama, because evidently he created this tornado and then steered it around. Because you know what? The best way, if you're really fed up and you want to annihilate a bunch of your own citizens, best way to do it is to create a tornado. And then move it all around. because that's really the efficient, subtle way to get away with it.
You know what? Actually, what that is that's the demo for the new Xbox One or whatever the hell it is, whatever that new Xbox that you know. Because you know they're sitting in the Oval Office. They've got the you know they've got the prototype plugged into the TV. It's like, give me a shot at it. Let me try to steer it. All right, let's see if we can take. Let's see if we can take that school out right there. Ooh.
It's really remarkable what people will buy into, and the idea of moving, like, they never bother to break it down. Like, why would the government go out of its way to invent the technology to create tornadoes and then move a bunch of them around and to be able to do that? It's why would they do that? What is the purpose of doing that? There is no.
I really, really liked your piece in today in Banter, the Bidondi's razor. That was very clever. You're right, because it's exactly the opposite of Occam's razor. Yeah. Whatever is actually the most convoluted way to get from point A to point B is what they believe.
Yeah, that's precisely it, right? Occam's razor is the simplest explanation is usually the right one. And Bidondi's razor, named after Dan Bidondi, the
lunk-headed idiot from InfoWars.
The illiterate InfoWars journalist. It's like the opposite is Bidondi's razor, where the most complicated explanation is the right one. And that's for some reason, the Obama administration, they wanted to distract from, and there is another article on InfoWars about this, about how their tornado is being used and exploited to distract from the IRS scandal.
Right.
So you put that together with Alex Jones's explanation that the government manufactured these tornadoes and then moved them all around. Like it's easy. Like it's easy to harness the power of 600 Hiroshima bombs after they've been detonated and move it all around. Government has that kind of technology and that kind of power. But that's the explanation. So in order to distract from the IRS, they made these tornadoes and moved them all around, destroyed a bunch of stuff and killed a lot of people in near Oklahoma City. That's really the why. If you want to distract people in 2013, yeah, the way you do it is you make a tornado. You don't do something ridiculous with a celebrity scandal or a sex tape. You do it with you make a big tornado, of course. Like someone commented on the Daily Banter about how, you know, why didn't we just use that technology in Iraq?
Why don't
we just
easier?
Why we should have just made a bunch of tornadoes, moved them all around, steered them all around Baghdad.
Think about how cool that would have been.
Yeah,
it's a hell of a lot better than a drone.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, can you imagine the technology that would have to go into moving tornadoes? And he says to this woman, this basically the audio recording of this segment of the Alex Jones show, this woman calls in and says, you know, this all seems suspicious to me. I think this was man-made. I think this was technology at work. And then Alex Jones with his, you know, who's being, you sound
we
like...
We have hired Storm from the X-Men.
Right.
She's now the new Secretary of Defense.
And then Alex Jones is beginning to sound like Babe Ruth after the tracheotomy. It just goes off when there's a list of evil corporations and evil government agencies, and then
you are so right. Again, another thing you hit on the head, the sort of beauty of the way he just rattles off these impressive sounding acronymic names and all of these different, you know, just all of these sort of secret groups, and he just throws a bunch of unnecessary BS statistics and details in an effort to confuse the crap out of everybody because it sounds legit.
Yeah, he says Bill Gates, weather modification, geoengineering, AP, Reuters, Department of Energy. And he starts talking about, I don't know if this is a weather weapon or not, but they can, with the right conditions, they can create and steer groups of tornadoes.
You know, right. Didn't you say like they can do some things and some stuff?
Yeah, he said, question is, were the helicopters and small aircraft seen in and around the clouds spraying and doing things? if you saw that, you better bet your bottom dollar that they did this, but who knows what they did? You know, that's the thing. We don't know.
We don't know. Says.
And usually those other names include also names like IBM, Raytheon, Bechtel, FEMA, and the Illuminati. These are right.
The Trilateral Commission.
The Trilateral Commission. Chemtrails, juice boxes. Yeah.
Yep.
Better watch out for those juice boxes.
Chemtrails is like the dead giveaway. All I need is somebody to say the word chemtrails to me, and that's it. That's like, I will spend the next hour mercilessly ridiculing that person.
That's the shibboleth of the Alex Jones universe, right?
Chemtrails.
One last break, back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
And we're back. Yeah, this is another song from the 80s I can listen to with my hair on fire.
That's a good record.
There was a period of time there where I wanted to be Robert Palmer. Robert Palmer was the coolest guy in the world to me for a while.
He was very cool. They were a great band, too. They were a good super group.
Yeah, Power Station.
Sucks, man. I had tickets to see them, and right after I bought my tickets was when he dropped off, and that idiot Michael DeBar joined
the
band as the singer. Yeah. DeBar has never been any good. He's always been just terrible, and it was so depressing to see them live without Palmer.
Well, it's not a band. I mean, you know, Robert Palmer, that guy was the band, basically. You know, you could take or leave any of the other Duran Duran members or whoever else was in the band. But you need Robert Palmer as the front man.
I loved the Nile Rodgers production drum sound that he gave Tony Thompson, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's just an unbelievable drum sound.
Hugely powerful. Yeah. I mean, and it holds up today. I mean, that song doesn't sound like an 80s song. That sounds like an evergreen pop song. Yeah. It's amazing, amazing production on that track. All right, so Chris Christie doesn't understand the climate crisis. So, like I said before, he thinks that, and I kind of hinted.
Oh
at
no,
this.
Bernard Edwards. I don't know what Bernard Edwards. I was good at those two scripts.
Nile Rodgers is a guitar player,
right? But he also worked with Duran Duran. But I always get him and Bernard Edwards confused. But yeah, it was Bernard Edwards who produced the Power Station record.
Yeah, well. And, you know, we make a lot of fun of Alex Jones and his ridiculous conspiracy theories, but, you know, the thing to me is the wide variety of people who don't want to acknowledge the real conspiracy here, which is the collusion of government and industry to destroy our environment, or at least make it inhabitable for human beings. I was trying to mention this as a qualifier, that the Earth is going to be just fine. The Earth will recover. It's whether or not human beings will endure through all of this. And so, but there's no one wants to acknowledge, at least on the right, the real conspiracy. Least of all, Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a climate crisis denier. He doesn't believe it's actually happening. He thinks it's a hoax. He thinks it's a Ponzi scheme. He thinks it's a scheme to institute carbon tax. That's Alex Jones. Alex Jones, everything is a conspiracy except the one thing that actually is. Chris Christie the other day said that, denied that the climate crisis there's no proof that Sandy was caused by climate change. But no one's saying that Hurricane Sandy was caused by climate change. It was made worse by climate change. As was the tornado in Oklahoma. It was impacted. This guy, Dr. Kevin Trenberth of the National Center for Atmospheric Research. Now when I say official sounding names like that, I sound like Alex Jones. IBM, Raytheon, chemtrails. Yeah, but this guy, Kevin Trenberth of the National Center for Atmospheric Research, said that climate change impacted this tornado 5 to 10% in terms of making it more unstable and increasing the rainfall, which it doesn't seem like a lot, but the impact in terms of damage is a 32% increase. Yeah, it's not a linear sort of one-to-one kind of cause and effect. It's exponentially more damage than the actual increase in power of the tornado. So this is actually happening, and it is impacting our weather. And it's a people, they don't get the idea that it's not just about the Earth warming up. It's that about all weather extremes becoming exacerbated and worsening.
Right. Well, that's that's exactly what it is. It's people not seeming to realize that global warming doesn't mean necessarily that the whole world is getting hotter. So therefore, snow disappears, and it's everything gets more pronounced. Extreme weather becomes more extreme.
And meanwhile, this doesn't help when Democrats or a Democratic administration makes Fox News Channel into a victim. That's just bad. That's bad. I'm talking about James Rosen and the Justice Department targeting.
Yeah, I just wrote about that.
Right, right. I just want to bring it up. I'm going to get your take on the show with regards to all of this, because I just think, regardless of whether the Justice Department was right or wrong, and
it's a terribly bad idea. From a PR perspective, it's a terribly bad idea.
Exactly. So, I mean, what they did was they were not only seizing this guy's phone records, but they were actually tailing him.
Yeah, I mean, they were actually spying on him. They got his parents' phone records. I mean, it's a horribly bad idea. And, it's like I said in the piece that I wrote, the F. Scott Fitzgerald line about, the test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing thoughts in mind at the same time and still function. Well, Fox News is not a news organization. They are not a legitimate news organization, and James Rosen is a hacky little turd. But that said, the White House and the Justice Department are completely wrong in doing what they did. There's an argument to be made that Rosen put a certain amount of national security at risk, and possibly even an operative, by mentioning that some of the information came from an agent in North Korea. That's something you should have left out of that. But still, when you create a situation where journalists tend to run to the defense of Fox News publicly, that looks bad. That's just terrible. You don't want that to happen.
Well, here we are defending Fox News, and we're not necessarily defending Fox News as a whole, but obviously a reporter with Fox News.
Well, it bothers me because, I don't like the fact that Fox News will make up stories and scandals that they hope will stick to Obama. And now, unfortunately, he's given them something that they can really bite into.
That's right. And now Fox News is a confirmed, they can really, and conservatives. Yeah, and conservatives love
a target. Yeah,
they love to play the victim in the first place. They love to feel as if they're victimized.
Yeah, and they're going to run with this. They have been targeted by the Obama administration, thereby confirming everything they've ever said to their audience about him.
That's right.
When you investigate a news outlet, whether it be Fox, whether AP a couple weeks ago, when you're doing that, there is because of the kind of latitude and dispensation that journalistic organizations in America are given, thanks to the Constitution and so on, you basically go to those organizations and you say, this is our problem. You don't go behind everybody's back. I mean, it's sort of a gentleman's agreement, but it's actually even more than that. Mm-hmm. When you're going to investigate, when the U.S. government's going to investigate a press outlet, it lets them know. And it didn't do that. It tried to pull off a really sort of underhanded investigation, and it was bound to blow up, and they should have known that. This is one of the dumbest things I've seen the Obama administration do.
There are a couple of layers to this, which is obviously the constitutional problem inherent in spying on a journalist.
Right.
But then, on top of that, there's just the obvious Fox News layer. This gets out. How is this going to make us look? How is this going to empower our political enemies?
Yeah, exactly. It's just dumb. It's genuinely, I do like Obama. And I don't defend Obama because, I don't support him, I don't support him and therefore work backwards using confirmation bias to find reasons to like him. I support him because he's done things that I genuinely happen to agree with. So it bothers me to see somebody who I think has done so many smart things to just completely screw this up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something so stupid.
And that's not to say that we're not saying necessarily that he authorized this, but he's responsible for it.
Because absolutely.
Let's face it, the buck stops at the Resolute desk in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's not going to. There's no logical way that the President of the United States could, for example, micromanage the Cincinnati office of the IRS. Yeah. It's just never going to happen.
The DOJ is a different story.
Yeah. But and with the Justice Department, there's no way that the president can possibly keep ongoing tabs on an investigation of James Rosen from Fox News Channel. Now,
but they've got latitude, and they obviously, you know, they have to have at least some approval, or at least they have to believe that they've got approval from the White House to do this sort of thing. Yeah. And they shouldn't, because this is, you know, Obama's smarter than this. And I'm really very disappointed that this is happening. By the way, and I say this not as somebody who, like, I'm not, you know, because I've been a journalist, I'm circling the wagons. I actually don't believe in that. I think journalists, you know, on occasion they deserve to get their ass kicked around a little bit.
Well,
you know,
and this
natural belief that somehow, like, that they have to circle the wagons. They have to pull the, well, we're journalists. We don't ever have to answer to anybody. It's like, you know, that's crap. You do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get to just engage in whatever kind of irresponsible reporting you want and get away with it. But, yeah, look, there is a special relationship between the press and the White House, and the White House needs to honor that as much as the press does.
That's right. That's right. I mean, and also, on top of everything else, the First Amendment is not absolute. Obviously, there are laws directing and regulating free speech, as there are laws directing and regulating the press. You can't commit libel. You can't commit slander. You can't, right. You know, and so to a certain extent.
Yeah, which Fox, by the way, has violated I don't know how many times.
Of course.
Because Fox just makes crap up.
But you just got to be careful about this. When it comes to First Amendment issues, when it comes to constitutional issues, you have to be damn careful. So, well, we'll see what ends up coming of this, but I begin to believe that...
Oh, impeachment.
Yeah, okay. Well, there are already a special prosecutor is on the way for the IRS scandal.
Yep.
So get ready for special prosecutor part 3.
Yeah. What's Ken Starr doing these days? Yeah. Is he still working at Pepperdine?
I'm beginning to wonder if every two-term administration is just doomed in that second term. To be just
I think if you're a Democratic administration, absolutely.
Well, there was a special prosecutor in the second term of the Bush years.
Yeah, no, there. Yeah, I mean, I think that after a while, I think people just sort of they get tired of it, you know, and I think that your political opposition definitely starts to beat up on you and wear you down and turns, you know, something into nothing. And yeah, or maybe it's just bad luck. I don't know.
Well, I don't think anything's going to come of it insofar as. The Obama administration is suddenly going to suffer publicly. I think their popularity is just as strong as ever.
I think that if they, I think that if the Republicans were to really seriously talk about impeachment again, you know, the last time, you know, the last time we had a two-term Democrat, they did the same thing. I can't imagine that looked good for them.
Well, no, and it's not already. I mean, if you look at the latest poll from CNN, the public opinion of the Republican Party is just dismal. You know, people still favorably look upon the Democrats by a majority margin. That's if you want to see the chart that's on BobSeska.com today. I posted it earlier. It's from Steve. Well, it's also on Matt O'Blog. In fact, Steve Bannon posted it.
Yeah.
And I horked it. But the fact of the matter is that and the president remains popular. So it's not as if this is crushing his presidency right now. But it's a big MFN distraction, and that doesn't need to really even be there. This is stuff that could have been prevented. I just wonder if it's inevitable in second terms where lower level, mid level people end up kind of, pardon this term, they tend to go rogue and do their own thing because it's hell. It's the second term. They've made it this far. Who knows? Well, hey, we didn't get to a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff we're going to have to bump.
So, after party.
Yeah, we're going to have to bump this over to the after party, exactly. We're going to talk about this right-wing radio host who threatened Hillary Clinton. Some Michelle Bachmann news. Fun to talk about. Another edition of Babies with Guns. And this one didn't turn out fatal, but again.
Star Trek?
Oh, yeah, definitely in the after party. Definitely talking about Star Trek, new Star Trek movie. Going to talk about bikes and cycling. Some fun personal stuff. Last week's kitchen nightmares coming up on the after party. Oh, this 18-year-old student who will change the way we use cell phones because of this invention. Really great stuff. Plus, also, Kai the hitchhiker, wanted for murder. We're going to talk about that a little bit. That and more is coming up on the after party. That's tomorrow, $6 a month. Subscribe, cancel anytime, and we'll see you then. Bye.